Blog Talk Radio.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. The living word says now. Come on. Somebody say it.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network, God's Great Love for Us. Tonight we're going to be discussing how to enjoy studying the Word of God for yourself. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight, God. I praise you. I magnify you. I lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have of studying your word, of discussing your word, of blessing you by focusing on what you've given us to share with us, your heart and your mind plan for us, God. Father, I thank you for all of your blessings. I thank you for all of your instruction. I thank you for all of your correction. I thank you for all of your reproof. God, I thank you for your presence in our life, your active presence in our life. Father, I thank you for how you're molding us into those vessels of honor that you would have us to be, and how you're teaching us humility each and every day. I thank you for this in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be discussing how to study the Word of God for yourself, because so many of us have engaged actively our relationship with God, and we all know that we need to be studying the Word of God, but the Word of God is literally the mind of God, and it is so expansive. It is so broad. It is difficult sometimes to even contemplate where to start, where to begin. Where do you begin studying the Word of God? So my first advice to you is let yourself be led by the Holy Spirit. As soon as you're saved, the Holy Spirit is able to lead, guide, direct, and instruct you. And what you need to know, when you need to know it, is going to be made available to you, and the Holy Spirit will direct you to what you need to study. Now, it's good for us to have people who teach us, and it's good to have fellow believers that we can discuss what they're studying versus what we're studying. But there is nothing like that personal relationship between you and God, where you allow God to speak to you through his word, because that's one of the benefits about being able to access the Word of God, is understanding that God is speaking directly to you out of his scriptures. Now, some people get very technical in that they'll only read certain versions or certain translations, or they can only read the Word of God on certain devices, or they only believe that a book version of the Bible is valid. And I would tell any person that has that kind of opinion that you really need to widen your horizons, because there are people who are never going to pick up a book, but everybody has a phone. There are people who are going to listen to the word on audio before they ever read a Bible. And people need to know that's okay. There is nothing wrong with listening to someone who reads the Bible very well, read the Bible. And I have heard these audiobook versions of the Bible. They're done very well. Some of them are masterful. There's this one that I heard of recently called the Bible Experience that I have not yet experienced, but I'm looking forward to it because I hear that it is put to music and has the different speaking so that you can tell when it goes from one person speaking to another person speaking, etc. And sometimes when you're reading the Bible, it's easy to get lost in the words and miss when you're going from one person speaking to another. Sometimes it goes as far as there can be a man speaking and then a woman speaking, and you're just reading, so you can't necessarily differentiate between the two. Well, I would tell you that tonight, I really want you to take some time to write some goals about how you plan to study the Bible for the rest of this year, and maybe even make some goals for how you intend to study the Bible next year. I know people who have read the Bible over and over and over and over multiple times, and this is over the course of their lifetime. And what I would tell a person who has read the Bible over and over and over is perhaps you might want to go a little further and read some of the other books associated with the Bible that are definitely related. It's called the Apocrypha. There are 54 books in the Apocrypha. When you add those to the 66 books in our Bible, you end up with 120 books. And what you'll find is that many of these books, many of these texts, they complement and they actually give you background on what's in our 66 books in the Bible. And what's interesting is that many of these books are referenced in our 66 books, but when you go to find those books, you're not going to find them because they're in a separate text. They're in earlier versions of our Bible. So I really want to invite Pastor Carver to speak tonight and to introduce some of her thoughts about how we should approach studying the Bible to make it relevant in our life.
Well, you said it right first. You know, I agree with the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you and giving you a regimen and a way to study his word. He knows our lives are busy. At the same time, he knows we need to develop our priorities in our life as it pertains to not just reading the word, but living it. And so all the suggestions that my husband made were good ones about be flexible, but first of all, listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is engaged in everything you do. So when you're reading the word, he's a lot of times speaking in between the lines. So you have to guard that time when you read your word. Read it at least 15 minutes a day. If you do choose to say, I'm just going to start with reading the, you know, from Genesis to Exodus, Revelation, or you might say, I'm going to just read the Gospels or Proverbs, like we always say, Proverbs and Psalms. But whatever you choose to read, take it seriously and know that you're not just reading white paper with black words on it. It is alive and active. So it's meant to convict you. It's meant to challenge you. It's meant to comfort you. It's meant to strengthen you. It's meant to convict you, keep you accountable, remind you who you are, remind you who he is and how you treat others. I mean, there's a variety of powerful themes in the Bible. So I think if don't give yourself an option not to read the word, you know, even if you're saying, my life right now is so busy that the only time that I can really engage with the word is to listen to it. Like my husband mentioned, Audible Bible, play it while you're doing laundry or while you're doing your task or driving to work or driving from work. We had a big family, so we had six kids, and I wanted to read the word and not be confused and feeling like, how is this relevant? But I had to be patient with myself, and I had to say, Lord, I'm going to make myself read the word. And he started showing me different things I could start with. Like some people start with devotionals, you know, like the daily bread. And sometimes that would be just what I needed to hear. There was something in there that would feed my soul for that day because my life was so busy and I wanted to make time for God, but I had to see what that looked like for me. And that's what we're both saying is the same thing. What does it look like for you? You definitely don't give yourself an option not to include the word, but you have to decide that the word is going to be a part of my life. You can study the Sermon on the Mount. You can, like I mentioned, you can study the Gospels, whatever it is, 15 minutes a day. You know, we can put reminders and timers on everything we do with our phone. We can do everything with our phone. We can turn on the Living Bible. My husband mentioned that too. And just say, you know, I have, you know, 10 loads of laundry to do today. My kids got to go to school tomorrow. I got to do this and that. But I'm going to turn this word on. And I'm going to listen. You know, it'll be the first hour of the day or the last hour of the day. But you have to surround yourself with other people that feel the same way too, who also, maybe you guys start a blog or you start a chat where you're just talking about what God is showing you in his word. It's really, and get empowered by that like-mindedness, because that will help you. You can do a, some people decide to do a targeted study, but then they may fast at the same time while they're studying maybe the book of James or Hebrews or whatever. I'm just giving an example. But they combine it with prayer. They combine it with fasting. That can be a very powerful experience. I've done that before as well. I was looking for strength. I was looking for answers to certain things. I was looking for clarity. And fasting, while you're studying the Word of God, can be very and powerful, because there's certain things that you don't see until you start fasting. And God can, you hear God at a level that you wouldn't when you weren't fasting. When you read the Word, it's powerful. But I'm going to be sharing things back and forth about how to make it an intricate part of your life, and that it's not just in more beyond ritual and just checking the box.
Well, I'll tell you, that sounds a lot like what I have in mind as well. I want to share a personal testimony, because I would say when I got serious about wanting to dedicate time to studying the Bible every day, it was 27 years ago, and I was extremely busy, and yet I knew I needed to be reading the Word of God. I needed to be studying the Word of God every day, but people oftentimes make a distinction between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. I don't. I believe that when you make yourself available to the Word of God, God will show you what you need to know. So you must read the Bible, listen to the Word, etc. So what I used to do was, my schedule was so busy, I'd have to get up real early in the morning. As my wife mentioned, we had 6 kids. I had a business to run. There was just too much going on. And yet I realized that I had this morning ritual where I always had I had a magazine rack in my restroom and my bathroom. And so I just took all the magazines out of the magazine rack and put my Bible in there. And whenever I was in the bathroom, I had a Bible with me. And so I used that time that I knew I was going to be alone to be able to read the Word of God. And people might say, oh, that's that's not appropriate. But you know what? It worked. That's all I can say. All I can say is it was time. I knew that I wasn't going to be interrupted or disturbed by others. And I was able to make myself available to read the Word in a way that actually got me on a daily discipline of making sure that I got the Word of God in every day. And that's really all that matters. So I want to share some scriptures with you that I think are going to bless you, that will tell you why we want to study the Word of God every day. And one is going to be here in 2 Timothy 3:16 that says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. And see, we have to realize that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It was not just some book that was written by a whole bunch of men over 1,500 years. It was rolled out systematically by God, revealed to mankind at the appointed times, and that word of God is profitable for doctrine, proof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. What this makes me think of is how when God tells us in Matthew 6 that those who seek first the kingdom of God and seek the righteousness of God, he will give you all the things that the heathen are chasing after, all the things the heathen are killing themselves to get. God will just give it to you because you are putting his kingdom first and his righteousness first. And see, this says instruction in righteousness comes from the Bible, the scripture, because it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction and instruction in righteousness. So the other verse I wanted to share that's similar to this is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, where it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, so it's not made up by men. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so this is what you have to understand, is what you're reading in the Bible is what is being spoken to men through the Holy Spirit, revealed to men, and not just old texts that were made up by men. This is the word of God. And that's why we have to really esteem the word enough to make ourselves available to receive it. I don't care if you listen to it on your phone. I don't care if you read it yourself. I don't care if you're reading it in Braille. I don't care which translation or version you read. You have to start somewhere. And I'll tell you, there are translations and versions that I prefer, but that's my business. There are reasons I prefer certain translations as opposed to others. But that has nothing to do with what you need to be studying. The thing is, make sure you make time for the Word of God because it will bless you. It will allow you to be confident in the things of God because, see, when you hear people say, God said this and God said that, if what they said contradicts what the Word of God says, you need to know to push that aside and keep moving, right? But if somebody you respect says, God said X, Y, and Z, and you don't know what God said because you never read the Bible, then you have to believe what they said, and that could cause you harm. So you want to know for yourself because in the end, you're responsible for making yourself available to study God's word. God's going to hold you accountable for what you do or do not do. And so there are those who are charged to teach you how to study God's word. They are charged to teach you so that you can study the word of God for yourself, get an understanding of yourself, of the word, and then begin to handle the word like a mature Christian. But even before you're a mature Christian, what I would propose to someone who is newly saved or not saved at all is take time to read Psalms and Proverbs so that you can hear the heart of God, the mind of God, God's intent for you, and then get an idea of God's plan. And so, I really want to encourage Pastor Carver to speak about what her experience has been as it pertains to studying God's word.
Well, I think that when you grow up in church and you're told to read certain things and you memorize a list of all these different verses that are basically based on doctrine, it's not that they're right or wrong or either, but you're trying to understand what's being developed in me. And so when you become an adult or when you start to say, okay, Lord, I need to say the word for myself. I would pray a lot of times before I would read my word. And I say, Lord, just open up my eyes, open up my understanding, help me to live this out. But when I first started studying it, I would always say, Lord, open up my understanding. I don't want to, and I used to hear, and I still hear from time to time, not as much, but people say, I don't understand what I'm reading. I don't see how it's relevant to my life now. How do I live this out? You know, I'm confused. And they just would stop. So that even if they were reading their word, they were just checking a box. And it was a ritual. It wasn't a discipline that would benefit their lives. And so my thing was, I would pray before I read the word. I said, Lord, open up my, it was a prayer that I made up. And it really helped me to build on certain things. And so I was open, and I understood that the Holy Spirit would talk to me and lead me to certain passages and say, study this or study that. But I also went to school for biblical studies, which gave me a working skill of how to study the word, how to prepare, how to teach, and different things of that nature. But it doesn't trump the leading of the Holy Spirit. Feel like, well, I don't know what God really wants me to study. Sometimes God will be silent, and just you have to embark. It's like you got to start somewhere and not make it, this is wrong, I shouldn't be studying this. It's kind of like what my husband was saying, and it sounds like we're both saying the same thing in a different way, but we both are basically saying just make it a priority. Start somewhere. Don't give yourself any excuses. And also I want to mention, too, about social media is good for certain things, but you have to be careful of the latest, greatest, I would say the most popular thing that everybody's studying or that everybody's talking about. Not that it's not relevant, but it may not be relevant to you, especially when you first start. You don't want to get into a lot of controversies and apologetics and things of that nature. That can be very overwhelming. Just sitting and listening to people discuss certain topics of the Bible is like, oh, Lord, I don't, you know, it can make your head swim. So you have to start in a simple way. If it is for you to get a devotional, there's a lot of good ones out there that I could even recommend. Or like my husband said, just there's 30 books in Proverbs. We read a chapter, one a month, I mean one a day, 30 days in a month, right? So you read one chapter a month, a week, a day. I'm sorry. You read one chapter a day. And that's just in Proverbs. And then in Psalms, you know, there's 150 books. So you can just, chapters. And so you just have to pick a theme in Psalms or in Proverbs that you want to study and keep it simple. But I do want to warn you that you just approach the word in a place of humility, teachability, pray, listen to the Holy Spirit, and sometimes even journal. Now, that's one of the things that started helping me, too, because when I would start to read and really start to get into it, I would hear the Lord talk to me about, and I'd write the scripture down, and then I would listen, and I would write down certain things, and these are the things that would stay with me because I committed it to memory. So it wasn't just me memorizing a scripture. It was me memorizing a principle or something that a revelation that God gave me. And so gave me full understanding of something. This is what it looks like to love your brother, to forgive. Or he would deal with my issues and say, this is how you know you've forgiven. This is how you know you have not. You have need of much patience. I would hear scripture. So the more that I would read the word and understood the context of how they were written and when, I would hear these words. I would hear the scriptures and different things throughout my day. And it really became an intricate part of my life. And I didn't, and I had to learn not to compartmentalize the word. Oh, it's for this, but it's not for that. It's to impact every part of your life. And if you're not ready for that, then maybe that's where you should start. Deal with your convictions. Deal with your value system about how you look at the world.
Well, that is very good advice. And I would like to encourage everyone to get an understanding about how to study the word. I'm going to give you some practical advice tonight so that you are able to navigate your way through. If you are uninstructed in the word and you happen to begin reading at Genesis, it will be a tumultuous experience because what is written to you, specifically for you, begins in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then in the New Testament, in Acts and Romans, all the way to Revelation, it is leading you to things that are specifically to the church. Now, after you have a good feel for what God has specifically said to you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts and Romans, and the rest of the New Testament, then you'll be comfortable reading those things that are for our instruction that we should know about in the Old Testament, so that we understand that God has been about the business of doing what he's been doing for the past 6,000 years or so. And we are in the point where we are seeing all these things rolled out and being rolled out as we speak. So I want to share another passage of scripture that's going to bless you from the book of Hebrews. In chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." See, the word of God is, it is what determines what is truth and what is error. And we have to understand that God is a God of truth, and that the power of the word is that Jesus Christ is the light, he is the life, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the word. And so we have to understand that God exalted his word above his own name. So we have to learn to do the same, because it's powerful. And if you have any doubt about decisions or thoughts that you have, it says the word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God will tell you what's behind what you're thinking, what you're doing, and so God will give you an answer. See, so many people, they're looking for an answer. And so many people wonder why God doesn't speak to them. And God is saying, I've already spoken to you. It's in my word. When you hear my word, because you have made yourself available to my word, then I can begin to speak to you in other ways that you'll understand, because you'll know my voice. But if you haven't studied my word, how do you know my voice? If you won't read my word, listen to my word, listen to other people read my word, you know, get to the point where you make yourself available to the word of God, so that when God speaks to you, you know the difference between what God would say and what God would not say. See, that people begin listening to spirits and then they conclude that all spirits are good. And that is not true. That's why we got to read 1 John chapter 4, and I'm just going to direct you to read 1 John chapter 4 in your personal study time. But we have to discern what spirits are speaking. So I want to ask Pastor Carver what she thinks about how we should learn to progress in our study of the word. Absolutely. And See, I think one of the things that we see here is what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, where he said, my sheep hear my voice. And see, that's the thing about a shepherd, is a shepherd, his flock only responds to his voice. And so that shepherd would give his life for those sheep. And so that is why we follow Jesus Christ as the good shepherd, meaning there's a bad shepherd. The bad shepherd is there for the money. And if danger comes, the shepherd is looking out for the shepherd, and those sheep are in trouble. And Jesus Christ said, I'm not that kind of shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd that will give his life for the sheep. And so that's why we want to know the voice of Christ. We want to know what would he say, right? What did he say?
Right.
And one time I was led to just read everything in red in the Bible. I had one of those red letter Bibles, and basically it puts everything Jesus Christ said in red. And you'd be amazed if, one, I was surprised to find things in red that weren't in the Gospels. I was like, hey, wait, that's a surprise. And so, you know, study God's word. Don't be afraid to buy any Bible. You know what I found out? In the United States, we have this place called Goodwill. And Goodwill will let you have any Bible in there for free. You can go to one Bible. You can get one at a time. At a time, you can get one Bible at a time for free at Goodwill. And that's a good thing because people will say, oh, I can't afford a Bible. You know, I once had people say that in a Sunday school class I was teaching at this church. And I went to a bookstore and bought a bunch of fancy Bibles and gave them out to whoever needed them. And ended up finding a very special Bible for myself that I still study from to this very day. And so I'll tell you that, you know, when you really get excited about God's word, God says that when you delight in my word, then he will give you the desires of your heart. And people misinterpret that. They misunderstand that, and that they believe, oh, I'm going to get whatever I desire if I delight in God's word. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is he will literally give you what to desire. And so what that means is when you delight in God's word, you will want what God wants. And what's powerful about that is when you want what God wants, it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to fruition. You're not going to be disappointed in your expectations, because everything God says he desires for you is going to come to pass. And see, what's powerful about that is that God's plan for you is good. But if you don't study his word, you don't know his plan. You don't know how good it is unless you know what his word says. Unless you know that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has planned for us and how great it is, right? But when you know that, the way you do, the way you walk out your Christian faith is different. I want to share a scripture from the Old Testament about God's word in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. It says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So God is telling you that his word is going to have its intended effect. The question is God's word going to have its intended effect on you? Are you going to make yourself available to God's word? Are you going to receive his word? Are you going to seek it out, right? God says that those who diligently seek me shall find me, right? Can you say that you diligently seek God if you don't listen to his word, read his word, study his word, consider his word, ponder his word, share his word. You know, this is a part of the equation because, see, God wants to have the kind of relationship with you so that you hear his voice. You know his voice when you hear it. And you understand that God has a plan for you that's good. And that God just not only has a plan for you that's good, but has a plan for others that involves you in introducing them to him. So the relationship is not just for you. The relationship is for you to share with those that God directs you to share this great, awesome privilege that we have of calling ourselves children of God and being children of God. I think of the children that I have the best relationship with. I have 6 children. The ones I have the best relationship with are those that I speak with more often. And sometimes that's just by proximity. We just live closer. Sometimes it's because I'll call them and they'll call me. Sometimes it's because they're not so busy and they have time to speak to me, right? And so that changes. There are different seasons, right? But for our relationship with God, we don't want to be seasonal. We want it to increase so that we can grow from grace to grace and faith to faith. So, Pastor Carver, what are your thoughts about this?
You know what? It is, like I said, it's about intimacy and growth. And you're right about the seasons that we're in when we just say, okay, the word is a part of my life. I value it. I know that my relationship with the Lord is hinged upon how I serve. It's so much connection to us studying the word that when you don't drink water in the natural, you're dehydrated. And so when you stay away from the word for whatever reason, it affects your life. You get dry. It affects how you see things. You become desensitized to things. You start gravitating towards a bunch of foolishness that is just like eating a bunch of junk food, right? It tastes good, but there's no nutrition. So when we read the word purely by itself, it is meant to develop us. It is meant for us to grow. We will be challenged. And some people said, I just read the word today, but you don't let it get in. You know, you don't let it challenge you, convict you, change you, grow you up, generate questions, questions that have actionable manifestation. It's not progressive, you know. Like my husband said, Bishop Carver's like, read different versions. Don't be convicted by it. I wouldn't tell anybody else to do anything that I've been led to do personally unless they, you know, and I would qualify it by saying this is a suggestion. What is the Lord saying to you? What is he saying to you?
Amen. And I'll tell you, this is what Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 39. He said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So Jesus Christ is telling the people here in the Gospels, he's like, look, search the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in the scriptures, and the scriptures are testifying about me.
Right.
He was right there with them. They had the Messiah in their midst, and they did not know. They did not receive. They doubted many times, and they wondered, could this possibly be this guy from Nazareth? Could he really be the Messiah, really? And so they kept looking at what they expected the Messiah to look like, what they expected the Messiah to do. See, they were looking for a Messiah to come and relieve them from the oppression of Rome. They were looking for a Messiah that was going to be their general, that was going to overrun Rome and give them a ruling class on earth. And so that day is going to come. But once again, God's plan is always bigger than whatever it is we have in mind. And all they were thinking of was their level of discomfort at the time by their oppressive regime that was over them. And many of us know about what it's like to live in oppressive regimes. But that is not God's primary concern. God's primary concern is, do you acknowledge his sovereign power, his sovereign rule? Do you bow down to his son, Jesus Christ, and accept his son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, as your master, so that you can be considered a child of God, so that you can be worthy to enter in before the throne of God because you're covered by the blood of his son, right? And so now look at what it says, speaking of that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, the word of God liveth and abideth forever and is incorruptible. We are born again of the word. See, the word of God is what makes us to abide forever with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and with God, our Heavenly Father. And that's so important because that's God's plan. If you ask many Christians, what's God, the meaning of life, what God is doing, I wonder if they could tell you that his plan is that he will dwell with his people and his people will dwell with him. That is why the devil works so hard to try to separate us from our Heavenly Father, from his son, Jesus Christ. He tries to separate us from the word of God and tries to separate us from the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us and get us running everywhere else, doing everything else except dwelling in the presence of our Father, dwelling in the word of God, allowing the word of God to abide in us, and we abide in that word. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you to intentionally approach the word of God with knowledge. And if you are new to the word, spend time reading Psalms and Proverbs. If you're new to the word, spend time reading Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6. If you are a little more, well, if you're very new to the word, spend time reading Acts chapter 1 and 2, reading Acts chapter 19, reading Romans chapter 10. If you're a little more advanced than the word, take serious time to read 1 Corinthians chapters 11, well, chapters 12, 13, and 14. That's what I mean. And it will help you really get a feel for what God is calling you to do. And then just know that you are in a place of favor. So, Pastor Carver, how would you like to encourage people tonight?
Approach the word like a desperate child, anxious to learn from the Father, with wonder, joy, and fearlessness. And expect God to store or initiate this in you. You really are asking for a hunger for the word. It's really simple. Be honest, healthy, and passionate for God's word. As you take these steps in reading his word, like we were saying, just taking those practical everyday disciplined steps in reading the word, but a hunger will come, but you have to pray for that and genuinely know that it's available to you. And I will end this with prayer. Father God, we just thank you today for this time. We thank you for your love that we get to discuss and instruct about reading your word and making it an intricate part of our lives. Thank you, Father God, that you speak to those hearts who are listening, that they listen and respond to you and how you're drawing them through your word. Give them great understanding. Let it be a time of just great joy and peace, that they are feeling surrounded by you, feeling strengthened, and that they have clarity and understanding and wisdom that's gained from this. Help them, Lord, to be patient and to listen to you as you guide them just to everyday things that they can do to make the word living and active in their life. And I thank you, Lord, today that this would be the beginning, especially for those who don't know you in the pardon of their sin, that if they just pick up the Bible or if they just turn on the Bible app, I believe, Lord, you're there before they get there. And I know that you want to stress them into his salvation. So we thank you, Lord, for this time and this opportunity. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, with God's great love for us, be ye transformed.
God for increase. Increase, increase, increase. Increase, increase. Just tell two people, say increase. Increase. Tell somebody, say increase, increase, increase. Increase.